Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yes, yes, he is.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise yes. the Lord. This is the Lord's house, the yes. Father's house. This is not the hog pen.
Yes.
There is peace in the house.
Thank you.
Joy in the house.
Thank you.
Salvation in the house.
Thank you.
Healing in the house.
Yes.
Prosperity in the house.
Yes.
Everything you need is in the house.
Yes.
Everything you want is in the house.
Jesus.
It's not in the hog pen.
Not
if it's everything, if it's not in the house, you don't need it. If it's not in the house, you don't want it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory
Amen.
To God. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We thank you for their hunger to hear the word of God. We pray that you'll open our eyes this morning that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Teach us, Lord, this morning in Jesus' holy name. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to believer. That we might be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. Not yet. Not yet.
One more month.
Yeah, one more month. Yeah.
One more month.
One more month.
They clapped.
Praise the Lord. What happened to our whiteboard? Where'd that thing go?
I don't know.
We got to get that thing back in here. We got to have it. We can't operate without it.
I'm requesting it to get it back in here.
Who do we request?
Either Sister Becky or Marla.
Okay.
I imagine they moved it for the wedding stuff.
But the wedding, okay, yeah.
I mean, I imagine that because of the teas and different things they were having.
That may be so.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Where's that board?
Where's the whiteboard?
That whiteboard.
Oh, it's over in the hallway by the offices.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We need it back in here at least by September.
When we start our revelation class. Okay, that's
the person
good.
We need to see.
All right, there's the man right there.
The man with the plan.
That's it. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, all right, let's try a different book then. If you don't want Revelation this morning, we'll try a different book.
Revelation chapter 6.
Chapter 12.
13.
13.
Ooh.
11. Okay.
September.
Acts. Acts chapter.
Now, please, y'all remember that's the month he's going to teach out of the book of Revelation, and you don't want to miss it.
Verse by verse.
It's going to be something. Yeah, it's going to be
Monday
great.
Night.
Monday night, 6:30.
Okay. I'm curious to see what you have to say about chapter 1.
Well, yeah. We,
I love chapter 1.
That's a good chapter.
Yeah, buddy. Shows the team.
That's right. I like that chapter.
He's going verse by verse, so you don't
Amen.
Want to miss it.
That's right. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going verse by verse through the book of Acts. And I'm in chapter 13, verse 1. Now, I'm going to spend maybe a month or two on these first four verses.
Okay. Bring it back.
Maybe not that long. But we are going to take a good bit of time. There's a tremendous amount of information that we need to squeeze out of this first four verses. This whole chapter 13 is tremendous, but the first four verses are just absolutely outstanding.
Yep.
Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. Now remember, Antioch was the place where disciples were first called Christians, right?
Amen.
I love Antioch. Wouldn't it have been something to have been a member of the church at Antioch in those days? Wouldn't that have been something? There were at that church certain prophets and teachers, such as, and it lists five of them, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. You got five guys. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul.
Right.
Now, a lot of Bible scholars tell us that this Lucius guy was St. Luke, the beloved St. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts and the book of Luke. So we can't prove that, but that is the consensus of opinion that he was St. Luke. So you got Luke and Paul and Barnabas. Now this is really interesting. Now here it says that they were prophets and teachers. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11, and see what it says here about the fivefold ministry. Okay? The fivefold ministry. Say five.
Five.
That's five people.
Fivefold ministry. Yeah, that's true, but they were not in the fivefold ministry.
What chapter?
Chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. So there's your five. Now there, that same, you got that same catalog in other books in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for example. But when we talk about the fivefold ministry, it's what we're talking about. These are fivefold offices of ministry, fivefold ministerial offices created by God, given to the church of God to perfect the church.
Amen.
Now, you know, persecution does not perfect the church.
No.
Amen.
No, persecution doesn't perfect the church.
Amen.
The fivefold ministry perfects the church.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That is so true.
Let me read the verse 11 and 12 again. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't see persecution in there nowhere.
Well, persecution came because the church wasn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, I believe.
Maybe it came because they weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Work.
Well, I see what you're saying, but when we get to the book of Revelation, you're going to find that some of those churches were doing what they were supposed to be doing, and yet the Lord said that they were going to have great persecution. So they did have great persecution, and you're going to be persecuted whether you're doing good or whether you don't do good. You're going to have persecution.
Yeah.
As long as you name the name of Christ, you are going to have persecution.
Well, they hate Christ.
They hate Christ, so they're going to hate you. So they are going to hate you. So as long as they're going to persecute you anyway, you just well do good.
Amen.
So, let's do it. Let's do good and get credit, you know. Well, praise the Lord.
Some cities, you know, around the country right now, they're allowing Luciferians to come in and pray.
Yeah.
They will not allow Christians.
Yeah, I know. Let's don't get off on that. I know that's true. That's what's going on. All right. So now we got the fivefold ministry that is given. That's the fivefold ministry. The fivefold ministry operates in the church like it's supposed to operate. The church is going to be blessed. The church is going to grow. The saints are going to be perfected. And we're all going to come to the unity of the faith unto a perfect the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the whole purpose of the fivefold ministry.
Wow.
That's what we're supposed to do. The trouble is to get these fivefold ministries operating like they're supposed to. And we need teaching to understand how these fivefold ministries are supposed to be operating.
We'll start.
All right. Well, we'll we're started. All right. We're started already. Now, first of all, Brother Hagin's got some really good teachings on this, on the fivefold ministry. And it is really good. And if you don't have his CDs on this, you ought to get them. But he points out here, now Brother Hagin believed that he was called to be a prophet and a teacher. Now there's one thing we learn here from this verse, that you don't just stand necessarily in one office at a time. You can hold several different offices. Okay? So these five people that we mention here, that it mentions, were in two of the offices. They were prophets and teachers. It doesn't say they were prophets or teachers. It says these guys were prophets and teachers. These five men were prophets and teachers. All right? Now you say, well, Paul was an apostle. Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
He was called to be an apostle, but he wasn't set in that office yet.
Amen.
Now, he was called to be an apostle before he was even born. Yep. And he was notified of that call when he got saved.
Uh-huh.
But this was 20 years or so after that event that he was finally set in the office of an apostle. There is no such thing, no such person as the Apostle Saul. There's no such person. He didn't exist. Once Saul was set into the office of an apostle, and we're going to see it exactly here where it happened, he became Paul. You have the Apostle Paul, but you don't have an Apostle Saul. He wasn't an apostle yet. He was called but not chosen. Jesus said, many are called but few are chosen. Just because you're called doesn't mean you're going to be chosen and set in that office. The Lord may call you, but you've got to qualify yourself. You have to set your heart and your spirit, your mind, everything has to be geared then to do what God has. You have to prepare yourself for that calling. And if you don't prepare yourself, He will not set you in that office. You cannot function in that office until you qualify yourself.
Because He can't trust you in that office.
That's right. You can't wear the armor. You can't. It won't fit. And if it don't fit, you must quit. And now we're going to see how this works here. So these guys were prophets and teachers. So Saul was operating as a prophet and a teacher. Now there's a curious thing that takes place here, that when you search through the book of Acts up until this point, and Saul appears a time or two throughout the book of Acts up to here, Saul did no miracle. Saul did no miracle. But in chapter 13, once Saul becomes Paul and he's set in the office of an apostle, he immediately begins to work miracles. Because that is what apostles do. Apostles are miracle workers. The gift of the working of miracles operates through certain of the gifts of the fivefold ministry. One of them is the apostle, and another one is the evangelist. We know from Philip the evangelist. Philip the evangelist, of course, it said that he worked miracles, and the people believed when they saw all the miracles and the healings that he did. So miracles are a hallmark of two of the ministries, apostles and evangelists. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The New Testament prophets did not work miracles. We have no record of a miracle wrought by a New Testament prophet. Now, I know that the Old Testament, they did work miracles, but that was then, this is now. That in the Old Testament, you didn't have apostles. So the prophets had to sort of, you know, fill in the gap. They had to, you know, wear both caps, basically. But now, in the fivefold ministry days, the Lord has divided it up. Prophets and teachers are not miracle workers. Now, that doesn't mean the gift of miracles can operate through any of us at any time. It just doesn't. Okay, it just doesn't do it. Now, that's not to say that, you know, God can't answer prayer. And God does answer prayer. But when God comes on the scene and answers the prayer of a righteous, or the fervent prayer of a righteous man, that's not the working of miracles. That's just an answer to prayer. That's faith. That's faith at work. The working of miracles, like the gift, like the working of gifts of healing, you can pray and have faith and receive healing. But without a gift of healing in operation. A gift of healing operates differently than just healing by faith. And the working of miracles operates different than just the prayer of faith. But the working of miracles is a gift of the Spirit, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit, and is one of the, it's part of the gift package that goes with the office of an apostle or the office of an evangelist. That's what they do. Now, so John the Baptist, for an example, was a New Testament prophet. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. So the law and the prophets were until John. John was the first New Testament prophet. He wasn't the last Old Testament prophet. He was the first New Testament prophet.
Yes.
He wasn't in the Old Testament. I can look in the Old Testament and I can't find him. I look in Matthew, though, and Mark, Luke, and John, and I can find him. And guess what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are in the New Testament. John was not an Old Testament guy any more than Peter and James and John and Andrew and Matthew and the rest of the guys, all of those people.
Simon, Peter, Andrew, Matthew.
That's right. There you go. She can do it. They were all New Testament guys. John was a New Testament guy. The Bible says that John did no miracle. And yet Jesus said there was not one ever born greater than John the Baptist.
Yes.
But he did no miracle.
He had the spirit of Elijah.
He didn't do a miracle. Elijah did miracles. This is true, but Elijah did miracles. John did no miracle.
Baptized people.
That's right. He did. He did those things. He preached. He was a great prophet, but he did no miracle. And New Testament prophets, this is not what they do. Miracles are not part of their gift package. That belongs to the apostle and the evangelist. That's what they do. It's split up. You see, it's divided up. Paul said, do all work miracles? And the answer to that is no, of course not. We don't all work miracles. All of the gifts, all of the ministries don't work miracles. Okay? So Paul wasn't working any miracles because he wasn't an apostle yet. He was a prophet and a teacher.
Example.
Huh?
Give us an example of a miracle.
We got one.
All right.
If you want one, in chapter 13, verse 9. Elimus the sorcerer.
13 or 14?
13.
13.
This Elimus the sorcerer was trying to hinder Paul when he was trying to get this man saved. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, right there is the name change. Right here's your name change.
Never call Saul again after this.
He's never called Saul again after that. And he's never called Paul before this.
Wonder why our names don't change.
You get the name of Jesus, it changes.
Then Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. There is a working of a miracle. That's a gift of working a miracle.
Amen.
At Paul's word, the man went blind.
Yep.
Bam, just like that. That's the gift of working in miracles at work. And the work of miracles, the gift of what that is, it's a great billboard. It's a neon sign. The working of miracles is a neon sign that says, look over here. This is the real power of God over here. This is it.
Rick, why we kind of don't see that in the negative sense today?
If we don't see it in the negative? Well,
wait on the two.
Yeah, well, now that's a good.
That is a good question.
I'll tell you one reason. Of course, we're preaching against negativity all the time. This gives some folks. This gives some word of faith folks heartburn. This gives word of faith people heartburn that God would strike somebody blind. Now
he did.
I ain't gonna apologize for it. It's in the Bible, and it's what happened. And if you wanna, you know, if you wanna argue with it, you just go right ahead and make up all your arguments, everything you want to. But it's in the Bible. I'm not gonna argue with it. It's what it is.
Paul never did apologize.
No, of course not. It is what it is.
Didn't Isaiah say that anyone rise up against you, you shall condemn.
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. You shall condemn. That's right.
Look what kind of person that the writer described.
Oh, yeah.
The book of Acts was at the ninth verse.
Yeah.
It said, then Saul, who also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's right.
They didn't have time to play. They were filled with the Holy Ghost.
Another working of miracles was Ananias and Sapphira.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was where Peter wrought by the working of miracles and killed Ananias and Sapphira. Zap.
See, everybody relates miracles in, you know, like the feeding of the 5,000 or walking on water. They don't relate miracles to what Paul.
Well, Elijah killed a lot of people.
Oh, I know.
He called fire down from heaven and killed a whole lot of people.
Well, he killed 400 prophets too, you know, Baal.
Well, he killed them with a sword. That wasn't a miracle. But he called fire down from heaven and burned up a bunch of folks.
Yeah, sure did.
Now, that's a miracle. It's a working of miracles. So, you know, this is not the gift of healing now. This is a working of miracles. And the working of miracles is to show the great power of God in operation. And we're just getting started.
You know what?
I got to go.
This man was trying to stop me.
Of course.
From doing...
That's right.
You know.
That's right. Exactly. What he was doing was pure evil.
Yeah.
And Paul intervened to stop him from doing evil. That's exactly right.
And that fear killed on a lot of people.
That's right, exactly.
But I mess with Paul.
That's
the devil that's said, right. I know Paul too. Don't
that's right. That's me. That's exactly right.
He will.
Amen.
Yep. That's our authority right there.
Oh, yeah. People don't have that fear of the church.
No, they don't. And it's one reason is because we're not seeing the gift of miracles operate.
But go back to the second verse. Can you get